Wonder how many of us really have a plan to lose it all. That doesn't seem to be the thought of the day in our society, that's for sure. But I think it's definitely a good plan to take a look at. You know, for the last 6 weeks, we've been taking a look and talking about this deal called risk. And we've looked at, let's see, how to calculate risk wisely. We've looked at some risk takers. We've talked about how to be a church that bets the house. We've looked at risk and reward. And today we're going to look at going all in and all out. And really kind of, you know, wrapping it up. Really, we'll be wrapping it up on Good Friday, which is just 5 days from now. And we're going to be talking about risking rejection. And you know, what I think is interesting is that when we talk about doing stuff for Jesus, you know, it's one thing to talk about it, it's another thing to actually do it. You know, we can talk a big story while we're hanging out with each other. We can talk a big story while we're in our small groups, but it's another thing to actually do it. And I think we all do that. I know I wrestle with living it out and what does that mean and what does that look like and what is that really supposed to be for today? And what does that mean for me as an individual? You know, how do I live that out in my everyday life? You know, it's more than, you know, for us guys who our jobs are pastors, it's, you know, living it out isn't coming into work. It's not. You know, living it out isn't preparing messages. It's not. Living it out isn't, you know, praying for people who are sick. That's not it. You know, because that's our job. You know, we're paid to be here. And I'll tell you, it's a wrestle to try to figure out how all that, you know, how all that works and what does it mean to live beyond myself and what does it mean to lay it all out and put it all in. You know, that's where I think the reality has to come in for you and me is how do we do that? Because let me tell you, living out our faith is not coming here on Sunday mornings. It's not singing praises to God, you know, here collectively. That's not living out our faith. That's just proclaiming what we know. You know, living out our faith, it goes far beyond that, you know, and we can talk about living it out until the cows come home. And we can end up being a bunch of barren, shriveled Pharisees. And I'm here to tell you, we're not going to let that happen. You know, we are not going to let that happen. You know, me being a shriveled Pharisee, I'd be a bloated one more than anything. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that we're gonna learn how to live outside of that and really become what Jesus wants us to become. You know, individually, because see, it's an individual thing first, but it's also a collective thing as we look at the church. How can Discover Church go all out as it puts it all in? And we've been having these discussions, you know, and trying to figure that out and so forth, you know. We've got to, and really for that to happen, we have to take action on our convictions. You know, we have to take action on our convictions and the purposes that God calls us to. At some point, we got to quit talking about it, and we just have to do it. Because if we don't, we're really no further along in our relationship with Jesus than the first day that we came to know him. You know, James said it best. Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. At some point, you got to do something. I can tell my wife till I'm blue in the face, I love you, I love you, I love you. And if I never show it to her, then where's really the love? God told us that he loved us and he demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But this James 2 passage, I love it in the message where it says, God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense. God is calling us to risk. Not just think about it and talk about it and plan about it and say, someday it's going to happen when everything lines up and all that other stuff. This past Thursday, someone called me and they needed some food. You know, and And so, you know, someone who used to a long time ago be connected here and that, and said, come on in. And I took him back in the food pantry. And it had been a few weeks since I've been back there, and I couldn't believe how barren the shelves were. You know, I just said, wow, you know, what a need we have here. As a matter of fact, the guy even commented and he said, maybe I should be making donations to your food pantry. He really did. I kid you not. And I'm going, wow, you know. And for some of you, taking a risk would be helping us to fill that place up. For some of you, that would be a risk. For some of us, the risk would be much greater than that. But you see what I'm saying? Is that we all need to take risks based on where God has us. And it's not going to be a equal thing as we would look at equal, but it's an equal risk because we're all risking. You see the difference? Is that for one person, what I might think is a small risk, for them might be a great risk. But for someone else, what I might think might be just a insurmountable possibility is something that they go, I need to do this. And see, risk is all relative to faith, I believe, and all relative to God's working in our life and what he's calling us to do. You know, and when it comes to being all out and putting it all in for Jesus, I think we have to look at his example. And in John chapter 1, starting in verse 11, you may want to pick it up. It's in your outline. If you have a Bible, you might want to follow along. That's okay, too. It'll be overhead. You know, it says this. Actually, I'm going to read it out of the message because I really like how it drives it home. It says this. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. You know, this text kind of sets the stage for you and I into and helping us look at what it means to becoming an all-in church. It helps us to focus on what's important, but more importantly, to move in that direction with effort. So as we look at this idea of becoming an all-in church, the first thing we need to look at, and this scripture kind of points it out, is that Jesus was all-in as he went all out to rescue people. You know, that very opening phrase, he came to his own people. He came to his own people. You know, we see in the life of Jesus that he knew that what his goal was, and that his goal of rescuing people, he was going to accomplish. He was all in, and he knew that it was going to require that he put it all on the line. Not just all the effort on the line, but his blood, his sweat, his tears, his life on the line. Everything. To lay it all on the line. And I got to wonder, because I've asked myself this question as I've sat down and thought about this all week and beyond, you know. Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to put it all on the line, including my life? Or am I going to continue to just lip service it out? Because it's so easy for God to be like our little genie who answers our prayers. You know, and be happy and content with that. But that's not what we're being called to. We're being called to something bigger than that. Because Jesus gave his life for us. And the thing is that we don't too often reflect on that. We typically will reflect on, God loves me. And that's important. It is important for us to reflect on that, because then it helps us feel secure in who we are. But we really got to look at the price. And that's why this whole deal of looking at Palm Sunday and then in 5 days as we deal with Good Friday is really going to help drive it home, I hope, for all of us. And I hope you don't miss Good Friday. I hope you come out and that you'll take part in that. But the question becomes, and this question was asked of Jesus before, what if I'm really going to follow Jesus' example, if I'm really going to be a follower of Jesus, what does that look like? What do I have to do, you know, to do that? You know, the short answer is I have to put my trust in him. And that's typically what we Americans love to do, is we like the short answer. What's the minimum daily requirement? And so we want to take our one-a-day vitamin, do our 5 minutes of exercise, talk to our kids for 35 seconds, and then go to work for 15 hours. And we've done the minimum requirement for family, for health, and for God. And we couldn't be further from the truth. And I find myself in that too. You know, I have to be willing to put it all in and go all out for Jesus. Because Jesus did that for me. Jesus set the example for you and for I. As a matter of fact, in Luke 9, he said these words, "If anyone would come after me," meaning if anyone would follow me, "he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, there's a real radical transformation in 21st century America. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. Imagine how many cars they would sell if they told you that. Imagine how much other garbage they'd sell if they told you that. Nothing. But Jesus is setting the example, and then he goes on. "Whoever wants to save his life will lose it." There's a great idea. I really want to lose my life. "But whoever loses his life for me will save it." That is transformational thinking. That's reformational thinking. The idea of seeing that what we believe to be true isn't necessarily always true. Jesus had a way of showing us real truth. In essence, what he was saying here in Luke 9 is that we've got to put our agenda for life on hold. Or quite frankly, in the circular file. Now that's not a powerful message that people like to hear today. That's why we see lots of Christians writing books that, you know, be all you can be now, your best life now, your, you know, whatever it is now. And again, I'm not destroying the message of what they're going after, but it slaps right in the face what Jesus said. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me daily. Because quite frankly, your best life is going to be later. Eternity is going to be way better than the best of the best here. You know? So we've got to learn how to put our life and our agenda for life on hold. And it reminds me of a story I just got this morning. And it's about this guy, Billy Borden. You know, Borden Dairy? Anybody ever hear that? When I was a kid, we had, you know, glass milk bottles and, you know, all that stuff from these guys. You know, remember the milk where the cream separated was sitting at the top and, you know, the guy would bring it to your house. Yeah, we had all that when I was a kid, and it was awesome. I remember it. I used to get into the chocolate milk. Yeah, I know, Kevin. You are too. Yeah. Well, anyways, Billy Borden, he was the heir to the Borden Dairy estate, you know, the whole thing. And by the time he graduated high school, he was a millionaire in 1904. He was, just because of the very fact of his family and all that. As a matter of fact, as a graduation present, his parents gave him, and he was 16 years old, a trip around the world. And it says he traveled through Asia, the Middle East, Europe. And he felt a growing burden for the world's hurting people. And then he wrote home on this trip. He said, "I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field." One friend expressed surprise and said he's throwing his life away as a missionary. In response, Bill himself wrote two words in the back of his Bible. No reserves. No reserves. You know? And during his college years, because he went to, in 1905, he went to Yale University. And during his college years, he made one entry in his personal journal that, quite frankly, I believe we all need to make. And it really defined what those around him really saw him doing. That entry simply said this: "Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time." Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time. And during his first semester at Yale, he started something that would actually transform that campus for the next 4 years that he was going to be there. He started this praying together. Him and another guy started praying together at breakfast time. And then before you know it, another person started praying with them. And then before you know it, this small morning prayer group gave birth to a movement that spread across the campus. And by the end of his first year, 150 freshmen were praying together. And they were meeting weekly for Bible study. And by the time Bill Borden was a senior, 1,000 of Yale's 1,300 students were involved in this. And he just had a passion, this guy, to reach those who were hurting. It wasn't just on the campus. You know, and he started this outreach ministry called Yale Hope Mission. And he was just involved in the lives of people who were down and out and hurting. And then as he continued on, he began getting a burden for the Muslim Chinese people. And that's what he decided to dedicate his life to. And although Bill Borden was a millionaire, he knew and he felt and he had compassion to be about his father's business. Not his dad's business, but his Father in Heaven's business. And upon graduation from Yale, Borden turned down quite a few high-profile and high-paying jobs. And in his Bible, he wrote two more words: no retreats. And then he went on to graduate school at Princeton Seminary in New Jersey, actually. And when he finished study at Princeton, he sailed for China because he was hoping and wanted to work so bad with the Muslims. He stopped first in Egypt to study Arabic, and there he contracted spinal meningitis. And within a month, the 25-year-old Bill Borden was dead. And the question is, was Bill Borden's death a waste? No. No. Not in God's plan. Prior to his death, Bill had written two more words in his Bible. Underneath the words, no reserves, no retreats, he wrote this: no regrets. And I believe those are six words that each and every one of us have to own. No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. And could that be true for us? I think it could be true from this point on. But I don't believe it's true for us right now. I know it's not true for me all the time. And the question I have is Discover Church willing to put it all in and go all out to do what Jesus asked us to do in Macomb County here? Are we really willing to have no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets? Betting the farm on reaching people in Macomb County? Or are we just willing to do that which is comfortable for us? It's a question we all have to answer individually, isn't it? The second thing in us becoming an all-in church is that we have to embrace who we are in Jesus. We have to learn to embrace who we are in Jesus. You know, the idea, what we typically do is, you know, when we do something wrong, what do we do? Our self-talk is horrendous. I do it. And I know a lot of us do it. Oh, man, that was terrible. I suck. I stink. I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. I'm lazy. I'm this. I'm that. We all do that. What a goofball. And we all do that. I want you to repeat after me, okay? In Jesus, I am forgiven. Then stop beating yourself up for your sin. You don't need to say that. That's me saying it back to you. In Jesus, I am free. Then stop living in bondage. In Jesus, I am victorious. Then stop living defeated lives. Let's take up his cross daily and follow him. Only when you and I begin to embrace who we are in Jesus will we be able to live out what Jesus wants us to live out in our world. Only then will we be able to bring Jesus to our world and be Jesus in our world. Discover, church, we need to embrace who we are in Jesus so that we can bring him to the world and so that we can go all out by putting it all in. I think of what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians when he said these words, Christ's love controls us. Now, I want to stop there for a second because I wish that were true. And I know that's not true for me. And I'd be willing to bet it's not always true for you. Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. You see, this is, Paul was literally writing that when we begin to see ourselves for how Jesus sees us, this is what we're going to live like. And that as we believe that, as we take it in ourselves, we will start acting like it and we will see others that way. And we will see the important task that he's given us. Which is to reach others. We have to put it all in and go all out, or we're living less of a life than what Jesus calls us to live. We have to embrace who we are in Jesus instead of focusing on what we struggle with and living defeated lives rather than living the victorious life that Christ offers us. You see, it's one thing to say that, and it's one thing to know that up here in your head, and it's totally another thing to live it out. And this is why the Christian faith in America continues to struggle. This is why I believe that the Christian faith, even here at Discover Church, continues to struggle. It's because we know it. But then when we're in the thick of difficulty, we wrestle with it. Why? Because we don't reach out to other people. Because we don't reach out to our other brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we aren't involved in a small group that we're allowing people to help us with. And if we are involved in a small group, we're not talking about it. I love the fact of I know what it's in here won't come out. I love the fact of you know, that we allow and we have and we desire and we want people to write down their prayer requests. I love the fact how small groups can work right. I think of this lady sitting over here to my right. I just think she's a walking miracle. You know? Now I'm going to make her blush or something crazy like that. You know? Why? Because I'll tell you what. I believe that Jim and Corey and Desiree and the rest of the family were all in and going all out praying for her. And look how God answers. And I know that many people here were doing exactly the same. You see what I'm saying? This is how the church works when it works right. And it can only work right when you and I are involved in the process of helping it to work right, which means we have to become open and honest with who we are. We are people who struggle with sin. We don't have it all together. Sometimes we're mean, we're crude, we're nasty. And we need other people in our life that we can turn to. And then we need to embrace who we are in Jesus so that we can be Jesus to our world. Because we can offer life and peace and hope to other people because we've received life and peace and hope ourselves. Third thing, if we're going to become an all-in church that goes all out, we need to go all out by putting all in ourselves. I mean, we've got to set the course of our life to accomplish that which Jesus has called us to. It's so easy not to. It's so easy for me not to do that. I used to think that I did that when I listened to his call and went into ministry. But I realized I can shelter myself in the church just like the next person can in their job. And that we forget the world that we were called to. So make the goal of your life to go all out for Jesus by putting in everything. It's kind of like in the game of, you know, what is that? What's that one crazed game that's going on now? That poker game. What is it? Someone help me. Texas Hold'em. You know, if you ever watch it on, now again, I'm not endorsing gambling, okay? All right. If you want to do that, be my guest, but I'm not endorsing it. That's between you and God, and the Holy Spirit will talk to you about it, all right? All right. In the game, at some point, if you think you got a great hand or you're trying to bluff the socks off of someone else, you take all your chips and you go all in and you push them in. Now, one of two things is going to happen. Either your bluff is going to be called and then you'll find yourself all out, or they'll drop out, or you've got a great hand and you just lured them in. Okay? So, that's deception, and that's another message, okay? We'll deal with that one later. But we need to set the course of our life that everything in our life we push into the table as it relates to faith and accomplishing that which God's called me to do. All my chips, all of who I am goes in there. No matter what I do for a living, no matter where I work, no matter anything of that, I push it all in because my life goal then becomes to accomplish that which Jesus has called me to, which is to reach people who are far from Him. And having exactly no reserves, it's all going in. It's all going in. In John 12, this is the, in many churches right now, around the country, they're reading the same thing. They're talking about Palm Sunday. They're talking about, you know, Jesus riding into, Jerusalem on a donkey. Or actually, if it was in the King's English, it's the other word. That's the only legal time in church to say it. And I was going to read from the King James today, but I decided not to. Because I probably said that way too much this week anyways. Anyways, John 12. Yeah, I did call you that. John 12. The next day, the huge crowd that had arrived for the feast heard that Jesus was entering Jerusalem. They broke off palm branches and went out to meet him. They cheered, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in God's name. Yes, the King of Israel." Jesus got a young donkey and rode it, just as the scripture has it. "No fear, daughter Zion, see how your king comes riding a donkey's colt." You see, for Jesus, this was his point of pushing it all in. Because he knew that within 7 days, he was going to be dead. He knew that this was now putting his life in, and that which he was called to do was going to be finished by the end of that week. And he knew that. Jesus faced what was ahead of him. He knew what he was going to have to go through. And he put it all in because he knew that he was trying to reclaim people for God. Because his love for people far outweighed his own personal safety. He wanted to tell about God's love for them. That's what he had spent 3 years doing. And this scripture, I believe, is a reminder for us that Jesus came. And on Good Friday, we're going to talk about more reminders, more things to look back on and think about, but will help us as we move forward. The question is, will we really live like this? Will we really do this? Or are we just content coming to church, knowing Jesus for ourselves and our families, and letting the rest of the world go to hell? Or as I said a few weeks ago, just sitting on our assets. I'm not, and I won't. Will you join me and Kevin and Mike and the elders and the directors in being a church that goes all out by putting it all in? So the question then becomes for you and I, and this is how we make it personal, is What steps do I need to take to go all out? What steps do you need to take to go all out? And my first, you know, my first question to you is this. I think this is a real easy first step. Who are you going to invite to come to Easter with you? Inside your program, we're making it easy for you. So easy, a dog could do it. The cavemen have been getting upset with that, so I figure we go with the four-legged pets. But we've created these cards of what we're going to do on Easter. We put stamps on the back, so it's like, ah, no stamps. I can't get to the post office. It's so easy, a dog could do it. Okay? You write the name and the address down there and drop it in the mailbox. Or if you can't even get out, put it in your mailbox like this, and the postman will take it. He will. And we've got more of them stamped out there, and we have unstamped ones if you want to just hand them to your friends. Because, see, the thing is that this is the first step in us going all out, is that who is in our life that doesn't know Jesus that we can talk to, that we can invite to come and hear the greatest story ever told, the most dangerous message ever created. Why is it dangerous? Because it will change the trajectory of their life from self-involvement to God-involvement, from self-focused to God-focused. And see, that's the challenge for you and I. You know, so who are you going to invite? Who are you going to mail something to like this that can come, that doesn't attend church on a regular basis, maybe isn't even a Christ follower? Maybe they've dropped out of the church. As a matter of fact, for the first time in 95 years, Easter is on March the 23rd. It was 95 years ago that it fell on March the 23rd. It's the earliest that Easter has been since 1913. And, you know, Easter's different because of how Passover is determined by the lunar and the solar calendars, you know, that kind of stuff. And a recent national survey said this. Most Americans said they'd accept an invitation to attend a church during Easter if someone would invite them. And recently, Barna, and, you know, we've read a lot of Barna stuff. The Barna Institute found that 23% of Americans haven't attended any church service the past year. The group is called the Unattached. About one-third of the group has never attended a church in their lifetime. So how do the unattached think? The survey discovered this. They're more likely to feel stressed out. They're more likely to believe they're less likely to believe that they're making a positive influence in the world. They're less optimistic about the future. And ready for the kicker? Are you ready for the thing that is just sad? 59% of them consider themselves to be Christians, and 62% say they pray during a typical week. And the survey concluded and said this, the best chance of getting the unattached to a church is when someone they know and trust invites them and offers to accompany them. And that's why we're doing what we're doing next week. Two services, identical, 9 and 11, to invite people to come and hear the greatest story ever told. You know, what bridge are they crossing for their life? Are they building their life on? Is it a bridge that'll take them safely into the future or not? And that's kind of where we're going. They're waiting to be asked. So will you invite them to one of our two Easter services? Will you do that? Will you go all out and put it all in and put yourself on the line and do that? Ask them to come along with you. Invite them to go to breakfast afterwards, whatever it happens to be. And there's more of these available on the information kiosk out there. Where it says information by the big Discover Church sign there. And there's so many other areas that we could use help in here. And that's how we can get involved. So you need to ask yourself honestly the question, God, what is it you're asking me to do? How is it you're asking me to go all in and go all out for you? What is that supposed to look like? And I believe the starting point is inviting someone who's on the road to hell to come and hear a dangerous message. Will you do it? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the fact that your love for us is amazing. We thank you that we can trust you no matter what. And we thank you that you view us as victorious people in spite of our struggle with ourselves and our human nature and our sinfulness. We ask that you give us the courage to grab on to the opportunities you give us to be your ambassadors in this world. Help us to grab hold of the opportunity even now to reach out in our culture to people who are open to coming and hearing the message of your Son. We ask that you give us the courage to do that. We ask that you give us the courage to rearrange our life and to put it all in by going all out. So, Lord Jesus, we want to be your example. Bring to mind the names of the people that we need to begin inviting this week, even as soon as right now. And then give us the courage to do that. Because we want to go all out for you, Jesus, because you gave your all for us. We thank you for that. It's in your name we pray. Bless us as we reach out this week. Amen.